Our fourth case in today's docket is Schur v. City of Chicago. Mr. Billhorn.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the court, counsel, Ms. Jennifer Schur. This is, of course, a de novo review under the Porter case and its supporting case law of the district court judge's decision to dismiss Ms. Schur's 1983 claim for violation of a Fourth Amendment right of search and seizure. I believe that there's two different questions here before the court, but both of them are profoundly related. The first question is whether a Chicago police officer, with retaliation as his motive, and half-truths and omissions, and some bald-faced lies in an affidavit, can use his police authority to get back at a family member.
But here's the problem I have with this case. There's a lot wrong, of course, with the underlying situation, but focusing on a Fourth Amendment claim, it's generally objective. I don't see any allegation that Officer Schur, or for that matter, Officer Briones, knew that she had destroyed the marijuana plants immediately so that they weren't in the house anymore. Now, if there were an allegation, which I don't find, to that effect, then swearing out an affidavit saying you're going to find marijuana plants would be a gigantic problem. You'd have to have a Franks hearing. You know, there are all sorts of things that would flow from it. But if, as far as they knew, the plants were still there, then objectively speaking, that's grounds for a warrant.
Yes.
Now, is it good? No. I mean, you shouldn't abuse process. There are other sorts of things, but I don't see where the Fourth Amendment claim is.
It's those other sorts of things, Your Honor, that Judge Ford, the judge who took into the information that was given
to
him.
Well, you're not answering your question.
So where's the Fourth Amendment claim if there's objective evidence that she concedes, by the way, that she was growing the marijuana for benign purposes? I mean, it's too bad the world is moving along and here are these crazy laws from the past. But at the time this warrant was sworn out, it was an offense in the city of Chicago and in the state of Illinois to grow marijuana plants.
But it is our contention that the Fourth Amendment right was violated, or to put it conversely.
Why? If there was probable cause to believe that there was marijuana in the house.
Because the probable cause that Judge Ford would have to find in order to issue a valid warrant is not limited to just what the allegation or the confession that there were plants being grown there. Because there's a whole body of case law that talks about the totality of the circumstances.
But there's no objective circumstance that says there isn't going to be marijuana here. Now, what you're speculating, and you may well be right, is that as a subjective matter, if somebody had really told Judge Ford the whole story, he might have said, get out of my office. I don't know what he would have said. But that's trying to import into the Fourth Amendment a subjective element that's not there. This is not a class of one equal protection, malice, you know, kind of case.
But Judge, our assertion is that the probable cause does not pivot on that one element of there being marijuana, small marijuana plants.
Why not? I don't get that.
Because there's the totality of the circumstances.
No, you're wrong about that. Let me ask you this. Why didn't you bring a state tort case?
Why didn't we?
Yeah.
The state tort case was not considered.
You know, intentional infliction of emotional distress.
That would have been something that would have obviously gotten around these constitutional issues that the case is being criticized for.
You can't invalidate searches, arrests, what have you, on the basis that the people, the police officers or what have you, are harboring nasty thoughts.
Judge, I'm going to suggest to the panel, and you three know
which
better
than I.
Which
is all that's involved here. She didn't answer the question about when the plants were destroyed, but assuming that he, the police officer, thought that the plants were still there, he's doing his duty in reporting a crime. Now, he's doing it for bad reasons, for which he probably should be disciplined by the police force. But you can't have lawful police action invalidated because they have bad motives for what they're doing.
I understand in the case law. And just to take a step back to address the question of whether or not the officers, particularly Officer Schur, knew whether the plants were still there or whether they had been destroyed. If you remember, in our complaint, there was a very specific allegation that he was at the residence the day of, early in the morning, the day of his bringing the affidavit to Judge Ford. Later in the day, he brings the affidavit to Judge Ford. He's at the door arguing with his daughter-in-law and her family earlier that morning, sometime after the granddaughter's funeral.
But that may be, but I actually looked at this complaint quite carefully, and I did not see anywhere the sentence, Officer Schur knew that she had destroyed the plants.
That's right. That wasn't
you
in the
do
first
not
complaint.
That.
I acknowledge it's not in the first complaint, and I also point out that, you know, with the dismissal, there was never an opportunity to reallege that or to amend the complaint. What we had was an officer who's there as a father-in-law at the door that morning. I think we could have certainly made a good faith argument and an allegation that he did know that the plants were not in there at the time.
Well,
remember, he was
no,
very
you don't have him down in the basement. I mean, you do have him as a co-committer of the crime if he's there, you know, cheering along the growth of the plants.
I was just going to mention that. You know, the allegations are very clear that he offered advice about the lights. I mean, everybody had the little girl's best interest at heart with this. And he had information and helped her measure the risks, helped her with lights, helped her with suggestions about how to grow, would come over and jokingly ask, how's the crop going? But what I was going to suggest to the panel just a moment ago is that the suggestion that this has to be measured just objectively and there's no room for any subjective incorporation of the totality of the circumstances, I think belies the fact that we know.
I didn't even see in your brief where you said that he knew the plants had been destroyed.
You do not see that.
Well, which is responsible. I'm going to praise you for that. I think that's responsible on your part because I think if the best you have is that he walked up to the door, you know, Rule 11 and other things suggest you don't want to overstate your case. But I don't. But I think, unfortunately, though, under the Fourth Amendment structure, that leaves you with her own admissions that she was growing marijuana in the house and that there's probable cause for a search warrant.
But isn't, in the end, the purpose of the Fourth Amendment and all constitutional rights is to be able to get the full information before the judge who sits in the seat that issues the warrants? And what I'm suggesting...
Full pertinent information.
Full pertinent information. And, Your Honor, I believe that every single day, multiple times at 26 in California, judge issuing search warrants look at the affidavit of information that's in there.
What he's supposed to examine the officer and say, are you being spiteful? Do you have some personal motive here?
Is that what you want? No, that inquiry shouldn't have
well,
to
then
go
why,
on.
Well, then it, but it has to be in the if it has to be in the affidavit.
It should be in the affidavit.
What the police officers say. He makes his allegations, probable cause, and so on. Then he says, you know, actually, the person I want is wanted to search his house. He's a Ukrainian. I don't actually like Ukrainians. And maybe if he were a Belarusian instead, I wouldn't bother with this warrant because I like those people, right? Is that what you want in a warrant?
Judge, what we want in the warrant
is the truth. No, no. Is that what I asked you a question? Is that what you want in the warrant?
If it's the truth I wanted in the warrant, yeah.
Yes, what is the truth? I am a hateful person. I enjoy nailing people.
How about the truth?
I don't think marijuana should be criminal, but since it is, you know, I like to arrest people.
How about the truth for Judge
Ford
to chew on?
That's what should be in affidavits seeking warrants?
Well, can I talk about this affidavit? What should be in this affidavit seeking warrants should be that this is my daughter-in-law, and I participated in the growth of the marijuana in the basement with the help of my granddaughter.
I mean, that's really greatly strengthens the argument for a search warrant, right?
It actually does. It suggests he has good reason to know that the marijuana is down there. But maybe you want to save a minute for rebuttal. If
And just a final thing that I believe that Judge Ford, who looks at affidavits for support in warrants every day and finds things that make him believe that even though there is a shred, a scintilla, some little bit of probable cause in there, I'm still going to deny you the search warrant because of the other circumstances, the totality of the circumstances. Judge Ford didn't have that. Okay. Judge Ford didn't know there was a fight earlier that day with the daughter-in-law.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Byrer?
May it please the court, the complaint that Ms. Scher has filed here was properly dismissed for failure to state a claim. Ms. Scher has pled herself out of court by alleging facts in that complaint establishing the existence of probable cause to search her residence, not just for marijuana, but for evidence relating to the growth of marijuana in her home, which she admits that she did. She does not deny that she grew marijuana in her home. She does not deny that Officer Scher was personally aware of that marijuana in her home.
And you, I believe this is in your brief, but just to nail it down, there's nothing anywhere to suggest that Officer Scher knew that the plants have been destroyed.
There is absolutely nothing anywhere in the record that I'm aware of that indicates anything of that sort.
I mean, so they find nothing, they go away. Of course, it would be horrible. Your daughter's just died. 12 DEA agents are all over your house. I can't even imagine. But at that point, they leave, and there are no charges brought. There's nothing else that happens, right?
I'm not aware of anything. It's not in the complaint. I'm unaware of any charges or any follow-up. Nothing has been complained of here. And as this court noted, no state claims of any sort have been filed regarding this incident.
There's no issue about the staleness of this information, which might give credence to this issue about whether the issuing magistrate needed information about the possible destruction of the plants. What's the time lapse between the swearing out of the affidavit or complaint for the warrant and the actual events that are being reported?
Well, the death of the child, of Ms. Scher's child, was on July 10th. The warrant was issued on July 19th. So there are no issues of staleness.
Well, what date did he report having last been in the house and seen the plants?
According to the affidavit, it was July 16th that he observed.
A
3-day lapse, correct.
Okay.
What was the religious controversy that was raging between them?
I am not aware. Actually, Officer Scher is not a client of the city. He's actually a retired police officer, so I'm not personally aware of those underlying facts. I apologize.
Just idle curiosity, really.
He's your witness, though.
He is our witness, but again, it was only on motion to dismiss phase, so there hasn't been further development of those facts. Finally, just to the extent that Ms. Scher tries to make this a subjective inquiry that regarding probable cause, whether a judge knowing there was probable cause to issue a search warrant might not have issued one anyway. That simply is not the law. The Constitution does not grant a right to have magistrates decline to issue warrants upon a finding of probable cause. And as we explained in our brief, there's simply nothing here to undermine the existence of probable cause.
Well, judges have discretion to decline to issue warrants. That's not reviewable, right?
They do have such discretion, but it's not constitutionally protected. It's not a violation of an individual's Fourth Amendment rights. Fourth Amendment right merely protects against searches.
Right. I think the argument, and that's all correct, but the argument that's being made here is that the judge exercises discretion in addition to evaluating the factual basis for probable cause, and that judges like to know all the circumstances under which they're being asked to issue a warrant before they do so. Even if there's a factual basis for probable cause. In other words, judges don't like to be misled or conned into using their authority to dispatch police officers on search warrants. And that's why the surrounding circumstances become important. And that, you know, that's a common sense proposition that I think we all can accept.
I believe so. I obviously, a judge would not appreciate being misled. But the issue here
and
is
this judge was misled.
Allegedly, yes.
There's no question this judge was misled. Based on the facts that are alleged in the complaint, that we have to accept as true. He wasn't told that this was a relative. He wasn't told about the surrounding circumstances involving the presence of the marijuana plants in the home. He wasn't told about the feud. You know, whether or not he would have exercised his discretion and said, I'm not issuing this warrant because of all of these surrounding circumstances, we don't know.
That is true that we do not know, but the inquiry here is whether these additional circumstances vitiated a finding of probable cause, whether a reasonable person could not have concluded, taking into account, you know, setting aside falsehoods and adding in any omissions.
It's an abuse of process, but maybe not a constitutional violation in the Fourth Amendment sense.
It's certainly not a violation of the Fourth Amendment, and that is all that Ms. Scherr has pursued here. If this court has no further questions, we respectfully request that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
All right, thank you. I think you have about a minute, Mr. Billhorn, if you'd like to take it.
Your Honor, you bring up a very important point with regard to the staleness issue. Our complaint alleges different dates than the officer alleges that he was there. So if we are going to dismiss the subjective part of what Judge Ford should have taken into consideration or could have taken into consideration, and if we're going to give license to Chicago police officers to settle family feuds with their police authority and 12 DEA agents after a funeral, then maybe what we can hang our hat on here is the staleness issue, because we allege that the last time that that Officer Scherr was at the house was July 11th, the day after the child's death. Because if you remember, the funeral brought about the religious arguments. There were certain artifacts put up in front of the casket that Officer Scherr didn't like. He arrived, he removed them. Later on, there's a dispute over who gets to pick up the ashes. Officer Scherr's trying to do that. Jennifer has to intercept him in order to keep him away from her daughter's ashes. And that's when the rage ensued and he went to the house. So that's the time between the 11th and the 19th, and there is a staleness issue that should be observed by the court, because if Judge Ford would have had that along with the rest of the totality of the circumstances, at one of those junctures he would have said, wait a minute, what am I being called upon here to solve? What am I being called upon here to remedy, a crime or a family feud? And this wasn't about the Cubs and the White Sox. This was about personal family power struggles between a father-in-law who didn't like the way the mother-in-law was handling the death of the child. So if we've got any hook to hang the hat on here, and nobody will recognize that the subjective findings that Judge Ford could have made with the whole story is irrelevant to constitutional issues, we've got a staleness argument that ought to be able to get us back to the district court on remand into discovery and find out when he was there and what he knew when he got there and what was included in the affidavit.
Let me just ask you, what was this religious dispute about?
Jennifer, the mother, had placed certain religious artifacts. I can't tell you about what their meaning was or symbolism was, but Officer Scherr didn't like them. He arrived at the funeral house that morning outside of the presence of Jennifer.
But we don't know the details of what these artifacts were.
I don't know why they offended Mr. Scherr.
Right,
Officer Scherr.
Was it crosses? I mean, we're being a little coy here. Do you actually know what they were or not?
I believe one of them was a cross. I believe another one of them was something symbolic that Officer Scherr took offense to. When Jennifer got there for the beginning of it, they were removed. She went and got him back, put him back in the visible area around the casket. That and the later struggle over the ashes really seemed to trigger the rage in Officer Scherr and the utilization of his police powers to get back at Jennifer.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. This will be taken under advisement.